Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode here as I build this episode. Today is, I believe it's March the 5th, 2024, about 6:20 in the morning, 6:25, no, 6:20. So the other day, I think it was on Sunday, I went to go watch Dune Part 2. Now, I didn't really care for... I mean, I thought Part 1 was okay, but it was really, really slow. It was really, really slow. And I really felt that there was way too much talking, and they kind of bullshitted around with the slow motion a little bit too much. And overall, like, they could have condensed all of that bullshit down into like 30 minutes. That the entire 2.5 hour movie could have been done in like 30 minutes. Like, it could have been narrated the first half of the movie about the House of Atreides going to the Spice Planet, and then the people that were in Spice Planet came back to fuck them up. And it could have been narrated that way and got much deeper into the battle and what have you. Most people liked Dune Part 1. I was like, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was okay. I thought they took too much liberty with the slow-mo and too much liberty of the just the thing of it. Like, I guess that's what they were going for. Dune Part 2, it's got its own issues. They corrected what I thought was going on in Part 1. That it was just like really slow. There wasn't any action. This one had more action. It's a little bit more cut, and things are happening. But I mean, even though they corrected the slow tempo of the first one, the second one's got its own problems. In and of itself, that I'm like, all right, like, I'm not understanding the logic behind some of it. So, like, I don't know if this is supposed to be like a I don't know if Dune 2, what they were going for in terms of movie, because it seemed to have more action than the first one. Like, there was things happening, fighting, like, every little while. But they just kind of brought Josh Brolin back out of nowhere, and he turned out to he's a smuggler. And they even poked fun of it in the movie. They were like, "Oh, look who's back from the dead!" Like, I was like, "Yeah, I was almost assumed that the guy died." And then he has been on the planet, smuggling spice, and nobody knew about it. Like, I don't know. Then I mean, that's just one instance. There's a lot of things in the movie that I was like, okay, well, like, again, they spent so much time in the first one that you would have thought that the second one would have been, this most of it would have been clarified. However, it was not. Like, and some of it was like, so his family set up nuclear warheads in the desert that only he could open, but nobody knew where it was at, but it was hidden in plain sight. I was like, again, okay. The motherfucker was able to ride the Denisi, like the Shai Halu, like out of nowhere. No practice. God, there's just a lot of things, you know. Then they built up what I thought was going to be, like, the villain going forward, then what turned out to be the nephew and the head chief of the other clan that was on Arrakis first, the Hurricanes. He wiped out what turned out to be his grandfather, which I thought some of the plot twists were kind of cool, because I didn't see that coming. I mean, looking at it objectively, I've never watched the old ones. And I just kind of went to watch this, and I was like, hopefully this is better than part one. I went to the Sunday special, you know, $8 movie ticket. With that said, I was like, oh shit, I did not see that coming. That was a great twist of reality right there. And I was like, damn, and that's his cousin. But that makes a lot... To me, that made a lot of sense that he was related and that the mother was also, like, was the daughter of him. It all of it made sense, because I was thinking about it, like, her ambitious greed for power, they had the man dying on the stairs, and then, but she's, like, she's inching towards the throne herself, like, you know. And now, like, the dude, I think his name is Paul, the Atreides, which actually is not even Atreides, he's a Hurricane, but I guess he's Atreides, but I guess the bloodlines are mixed. He's ascending to, he claimed the Emperor's throne. But then he didn't kill the Emperor. I would have killed the man. But then they were like, well, his life debt has been paid. Like, well, you should have fucked him up anyways. That would have been my first order of business. Leaving him alive is kind of pointless. The daughter, I knew that. See, that's one thing I didn't care for the movie. The daughter, which is actually, what's her name? Not Black Widow, but she is an Oppenheimer, and she plays Florence. I think that's her name, Florence Pugh. Again, they're talking about it. There's more talking about how to control people and do this and do that. And I forget what the witches are called, the Benedict Jezebels or whatever. That's not their name, but it's something along those lines. She essentially told her what was going to happen, and I don't think she believed it. And honestly, I was like, yeah, this is a parody of what's happening in the world we see today. But it's kind of weird, because if you take a step back from the movie and you start realizing, okay, these Fremen they live in the desert, they live in the sand. This is obviously, this looks like they're made to look like Arab, especially the way they talk. You mean to tell me that essentially an American goes and gets lost in the sand desert with the Fremen, what they end up calling him, the Mahajib or whatever. He is a prophesied savior of their lands. I don't buy that. Even though that's written even in the Bible, that whoever makes peace essentially in the Middle East is in effect supposedly the Antichrist. I think that's kind of mirrored in this, but let's be real here. No Muslim, no Arab nation will allow a white person with blue eyes or whatever come to rule them. That's just not happening. That is so far-fetched. That's crazy. But maybe that's the point of the movie, like, but I don't think so, but maybe that's, this is a parody, like, there's a lot of heavy religious themes in the movie, and I was like, yeah, this kind of reminds me of the Bible a lot, like, that's all I could think about. I was like, yo, so this guy is the Antichrist, like, in essence, like, but whatever, but then, okay, so then they end up killing that nephew off pretty quick, too, like, the war at the end went really quick, too, and I was like, damn, they set up this big battle, and that battle was over fairly quick, like, what the fuck happened? We're, like, that kind of annoyed me a little bit, that they were talking about this war, and I was thinking we were gonna get, like, some great war battle for, like, 30 minutes, and it just, like, kind of was over. So there's a little issue there. I gotta tell you the highlights. I know it seems like I'm dogging the movie, but I gotta tell you the highlights of the movie. The movie was riding the fucking big ass worm. That was cool as fuck. You know, I thought most of Zendaya's parts were good, except for the fact that she kind of didn't do shit in the movie. They just had her there as kind of like fodder for the story. Like, they built up that he was in love with her and that all of this was going to happen. And that he was going to love her as long as he was alive and as long as he was able to stand on his own two feet and defend the land. And he wanted to be part of the people. And then, again, I think she's seen it too, coming from a mile away. As I was thinking, I was like, yeah, this guy's going to turn out to be some fucked up person. And, like, she's kind of right, because now he's on the war path now that he's been enlightened by a lot of shit. And he has no choice, because he killed off essentially that whole house. He defeated the emperor, but the other houses, I don't know how many houses are out there. You would have thought they would have said that in the beginning. I don't even want to watch part one again, because I'm just not, I don't know if it is explained. But there's got to be several other planetary houses out there, supposedly, whatever. And they all want to fuck up. They're all going to challenge for the throne, which makes a lot of sense, because if you topple Saddam Hussein, you topple all these other people, look how many fucking tribes rise up to try to fill the void. There's a power vacuum. And because they don't accept his, you know, legitimacy towards the throne, he has no choice but to go and go to war with them. And I think he's going to take the war to them. And that's going to cost, you know, the Fremen their lives. And that's kind of what he knew was gonna happen, and I think she knew it, and she was trying to stop it, but I can, like, she wasn't really doing much in the movie. Like, I thought she was like a warrior. And again, it ended with her in slow motion. She's gonna ride the Shai Hulud and become a Fremen, maybe. I don't know. Overall, okay, so some of the other highlights, I think the mom is probably stealing the show for me. Because she's actually the crazy one of the whole movie, like, the wild card. For me, it's the wild card. Like, as much as that dude Paul is, like, wild himself, you know, when I mean, like, wild, I mean, like, you know, he kind of, like, he had to learn. But she was like, yes, like, drink the spice. She's actually, like, a step ahead of him in every aspect. And then she's pregnant with, you know, I guess his sister. and when she's born, and they're talking telepathically because they're witches. But then she goes full blown like I don't know how to describe it. Like, she straight up becomes like some crazy ass, like, demon witch lady. That I thought that was cool. I think her part, her role in the movie was really great. Because she not only was like, yeah, we're gonna have to convince all the non-believers that you're the Mahajib or whatever it is, whatever they call them. But, you know, we're gonna do it by like forcefully. And everything that she ends up telling him ends up being like correct. Like, and then she drinks the worm's blood or whatever. Yeah, she's a wild character. Her character's wild. I didn't understand. Then they made, okay, one thing that I didn't like is they turned Dave Bautista into a little bitch. Maybe that's how the story goes, but they should have had him died on the battlefield. Them turning him into a little biatch. I was like, man, that was dumb. You know, it's just, I thought they should have spent more time at the arena where the nephew was, it was his birthday. They kind of glanced over that. But they built up the nephew to be like, I thought he was going to be a good villain, and then they fucking washed his ass. Like, they should have never, I don't know, the very ending of it was sloppy. Because I thought it could have been a lot better. You know, it could have been much, much, much better. I think if they had let Zendaya lead a rebellion against Paul Atreides, like, already, like, there was friction and she pulled out troops, but he still ended up becoming the leader. If he killed the Emperor right there on the spot, he won the war and made him bow, but then said as his first act of, you know, Emperor is, well, you pay with your life. And having already taken the daughter as his wife, you know, knowing full well that Zendaya was out to kill him, and they're probably gonna, those two are gonna have to battle, does it anyways. And then the nephew also be like, yeah, like, he has to go. The nephew probably should have joined Zendaya in some sort of a rebellious act, and like completely flip things. That's what I would have done, but they didn't do that. They kind of went for the love angle of it, which is an okay angle, because I mean the ending was sloppy. It wasn't bad. It just was like sloppy to me. But they ended up killing the nephew. And I thought he was probably some of the better part of the movie. Giving off big Hellraiser vibes and big goth vibes. And I was like, okay, well, I thought he was going to, his whole tribe should have been beaten, like his planet, you know, and then him have to do the route that Atreides took, like going to the desert, and he should have been trained by Zendaya, but a different way, where like, okay, he's not going to be the Mahajib, but he's going to do everything, and maybe even better, and then them lead an army against Atreides, like a small faction of resistance, and then them fall in love, but then she also hates the Emperor's daughter. Again, that's what I would have done. Overall, again, there was more action in this, so there was a lot more fighting from the jump, like, and just a lot of people dying, getting killed, things of the nature. But it was like some random things in there that I didn't understand, and I was like, okay, they didn't even need to be there. Some things that I was like, well, did they not? I don't know, like, they didn't explain all this bullshit. And just the ending was a little sloppy to me. With that said, I mean, overall, I mean, I'd probably give it like a 7 out of a 10. I know people are talking about it being like this great-ass movie, but I'm like, does it get a chance to see part 3? Yeah, I might watch part 3, but I'm not completely sold on things that are happening. Like, so I don't know how much of this original story it's taken from, or they're spinning it a different way, but some of those things, like, he's going to the Holy War with the other families, like, I'm just kind of like, yeah, man, they kind of fucked up some angles of it. They really did. They fucked up a lot of angles of it, to be honest. Essentially, he's got everybody on his side other than Zendaya or Shaheen or whatever they call her in the movie. And so, but he's turned himself into some war veteran hero, dude. Probably the best part of the movie that I kind of felt for the Atreides dude was when he goes into the fucking room and he kind of punks everybody. That was like his coolest moment. And then riding the sandworm. Honestly, they should have shown more of the riding of the sandworm. The Shai-Hulud. To me, that was my favorite parts of the movie, actually. Like, them riding the fucking Shai-Hulud was the shit. And then they rode it into battle. Like, that was kind of crazy, too. Like, that was good. But then they didn't show it enough. That's why I was like, they took some of the best parts of the movie and chopped them at the knee. Like, bro. They made the Shai-Hulud to be this great weapon. And then they shied away from it kind of at the end. I was like, oh, fuck. And they opted for more talking and more story, which I was like, you motherfuckers, man. So, yeah, with all that said, I can only give Dune a 7, like a 7, like a 70%. Like a solid 70%. Not like a 79 where I'm thinking like, yeah, this was an 8. But like a 7. More than a 6. Because it actually was, most of it was pretty good. Little less talking than the first one. A little bit more things happening. But unlike the first one where it was everything was kind of explained of what was going on in the situation, they didn't have a random motherfucker just pop out of nowhere. Josh Brolin literally popped out of nowhere. And then these were like he was a smuggler. Like, nah. So all of that was relatively dumb as hell. That whole sequence of events, it was like 10, 15 minutes in there where that was going on. And, yeah, there was like a whole section in there that I was like, oh, wow. Wild. Okay. Didn't make any sense, but then they killed Bautista off pretty lacklusterly. He didn't even get a final battle, really. From turning him to a great warrior to a great biatch, to me, was rather sad. Sad turn of events. Then they killed the nephew off. I mean, there's things I was holding this movie way back that I'm like, yeah, I want to. I don't know. I'm not gonna watch the original. I don't think. But I'm like, fuck. They kind of, if they were gonna do something different from the original, or if this was an original concept, they fucked it up. They really fucked up some shit in the movie. Like, people are going to sit here and tell you this is a good movie. And it is. But, I mean, they fucked up some shit in there. Again, like in Dune Part 1, they made Dave Bautista's character to be some fucking warlord. Some maniacal. And then he just turned into a... like, they completely 180'd him. and killed him, and rather easily. The nephew went out kind of sad too. That's at the end. I was like, fuck. Like, they built him up to be like he was crazier than Bautista, and they did him dirty too. Like, they did a lot of things dirty in the movie. A lot of things. They just did it dirty. But with that said, that's my review of Dune 2. Again, I just kind of feel like they did a little bit of the things sloppily. It looks good. I mean, if you can handle being like the overall absurdity of the story, then it's an okay movie for you to watch. Because the whole time I was like, ain't no fucking way no white dude is going to go and rule over the Muslim empire one of these days. Like, that's the message of the movie. Or don't, because he's going to be the warlord of all warlords and the fucking Antichrist. Like, you got to be out of your fucking mind, bro. Anyways, I must stop this here because I'm getting closer to work. And we will pick this up once I have something else to talk about. So hang tight. Well, good morning again, everybody. So, continuing on where we left off, we're talking a little bit about Dune. And now, you know, switching gears up here. Let's just talk a little bit about some shit. Yesterday, or the day before, I watched that movie on Netflix, Damsel, with Millie. I think it's Millie from Stranger Things. I don't know her name off the top of my head. I think I want to say Millie Bobby Brown, but I could be wrong. As a matter of fact, I know I'm wrong, but what is her name? Let's take a look. Let's take a look on the good old Google. On the good old Google. Yeah, it's Millie Bobby Brown. On that movie Damsel. It's like a Netflix original thing. Or I don't know what it's supposed to be. I guess it's their take on Damsel in Distress. You know, a damsel in distress. You know, damsel needs saving. Sometimes I appreciate that Netflix is just there. They just make shit just to make. Like, this movie was one of those. Like, the movie was kind of pointless, to be honest. But, like, visually it had some good stuff to it. I really love the design of the dragon. I like Millie Bobby Brown's character in the movie. I mean, like, it's really weird that she goes from like some sort of farmer type of daughter, you know, in her kingdom. But she's also sort of royalty. To she gets married into like royalty, you know, they convince her, and then she gets sacrificed to the dragon, and then she turns into like some sort of warrior hero, all in like one fucking, like, one movie. It's crazy. Although that is it's a bit of a stretch as far as I'm concerned. But her character isn't annoying. I think, you know, sometimes the main character is annoying, and the side characters are also annoying. This one wasn't the case. Actually, and then you know, it was just a good little film. Again, for it being a Netflix special, it was good. For if you were to pay money and be hyped up to see some. And that's one thing I think that going straight to DVD or like these little like Lifetime movies that you get, Like, because you don't pay to see him, because they don't have to sit there and hype it up as like, oh, this is the number one movie, and you get bombarded by advertisements, you know, like, go see this movie, like, Madame Web. Madame Web probably should have been a Sony streaming plus original. It's just, like, this was, it fits well with it, because I already have Netflix, and I was like, I'm gonna just throw it out, see what it's about. And I was actually, like, relatively entertained. Just because I wanted to see the dragon, and then all the dragon scenes were pretty good. The design of the dragon was really good. I don't know who voiced the dragon, to be honest, but I thought for a second it was Salma Hayek, but I could be wrong. I'm wrong. And, you know, overall, it was just, like, an okay Netflix movie. Like, again, sometimes you gotta appreciate Netflix for what it is, because they obviously spent, like, $50, $60, $70 million to make that movie. And will they ever get that money back? I don't know. There might be, like, 2 million people that watch it one time, and that's it. So that equates to a $10 ticket, $20 million. I don't know if they ever make their money back, $20 million or whatever. You know, ain't nobody just signing up Netflix to watch that movie for, you know, while it's on there. They're just not. But I don't think that's the point of Netflix. Netflix probably generates couple of billion dollars maybe monthly. I gotta say, like, there's probably like 100 million people that have Netflix, roughly 50-60 million maybe. I don't know how many people subscribe to Netflix all paying like $20, so maybe a billion. I don't know the numbers, but every so often they're trying to get something to stick, and that's what You've got to admire their willingness to take chances, because Netflix takes chances that most other streaming platforms don't. I mean, to a degree, Disney does, because they were for a while that they were like, yeah, let's put up Star Wars and Marvel shows, like, we'll put anything up. And they were like, yeah, even if it doesn't do well, we've got enough money to cover it elsewhere. But the Disney has since kind of slowed down, eased up on the gas on some shows. And they're like, they're looking for surefire bangers. And, you know, they have since slowed. You know, Paramount and Peacock and like Hulu and all these other, they kind of slowed up on random original content for that reason. Because they're like, they're looking for surefire hits, and they just, I mean, I don't know how many good stories there are to be told all the time, you know, as a repetitive, you know, they're looking for their next franchise to carry them. Amazon as well. Like, Amazon, what do they have original right now? Jack Reacher, they had Lord of the Rings, or the Rings of Power. But they are slow in making a season 2. Paramount, I think, has Halo. Like, very few other things. We just got very few other things out there, like, original. But Netflix stays dropping, like, random content, like, all the time. That's probably Netflix's ultimate feather in the cap. There is like, they don't give a shit. Like, yeah, they made that movie. They're making also, like, they made that movie, The Spaceman. I was gonna watch last time, but I didn't. You know, they brought out Squid Games. You know, they never know what's gonna hit. They did that movie also with Adam Sandler, The Uncut Gems, and they just, that one hit, and like, nobody knew that was gonna hit. You actually don't know what you're going to get with Netflix. Like, sometimes the movies look good, and then they're kind of eh. And sometimes they just drop something randomly and then everybody's talking about it. Like Griselda. We talked about Griselda a little bit. I love Griselda. Wish it was a little bit longer. They kind of finished it up, to me, too quick. But I had, like, Netflix, they can make a good cartel drug series. Like, they are adept at making that shit. They're probably the number ones to making those shits. And it's just what it is. Like, you know, I don't know if Netflix knows or doesn't know what's going to hit. I don't know how they're pulling their data together. Or how the analytics of it all. You know, because I'm pretty sure they ignore some of the analytics and some of the data and how the movie is trending or not trending. Because I don't know. Because sometimes they pull the plug on shows, like, after they get good and they're like, nah, we're canceling this shit. And it's like, what fucking data did you pull that from? Like that Jupiter's Legacy thing, that superhero movie. I like that show. I thought it was great. For being what it was really good. It was a little bit, not like a fresh take, but it had the Justice League being really, or the Avengers, like if they avenged back, they were really powerful in the beginning. And then like 50 years passed by and they're like really old now. And they're trying to train up like young Avengers. The team stay, but they ultimately get betrayed by one of the members. That's a little bit of the Justice League-ish, but then again, it's not, because it wasn't the Superman. It was the other guy who was kind of jealous of it all. Anyways, I thought that was a really good, like, adaptation of things. Like, it's not the same exact story you're used to. And then they just canceled it. They just like, nah, fuck this. Not enough people watched it, but I watched it. I thought it was really good. The Jim Henson's, you know, they built, and then they canceled that shit too. The Dark Crystal. I love that show, and then they fucking canceled it, bro. Netflix was like, no. Like, dog, give it a, let some shit cook. You already took the chance. Keep taking the chance. Some things that, like, I just kind of feel like, yeah, like, they take chances and then they don't. So I don't know where they're getting their numbers from. Again, some shit seems like they just throw it out there. Like, they spend money and they throw it out there. And then other shit, they spend money, throw it out there, and they're like, nah. So I don't know what Netflix is pulling their data from, or their analytics, or where they're getting their feedback from. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm like, okay, well, that's very interesting. Like again, this movie, Damsel, it's a very interesting movie. I enjoyed it. I'd probably give it like a thumb and a half up. Like maybe like a 6.5, or probably like a 6.5 out of a 10. Not quite a 7 out of a 10. Maybe close-ish to 7-ish. Maybe 6.9. I can't give it a full 7 because it's like some of it was a little bit pointless. Some of it was a little bit, I seen it coming. Some of it was a little bit typical of any sort of a movie like that. Like, the hero comes back. You know, there was no real drama in it. I mean, I guess there was, but there kind of wasn't at the same time. I believe that Damsel should have been a hard rated R, if not a mature adult, would have made the movie infinitely better. But again, that's not what Netflix was going for. This is going for a kind of more of a general audience. But had that been a hard rated R, or even a mature adult, and they didn't even have to show nudity or nothing, but they needed to kick up the violence a little bit more. A little bit more gory. Should have spent some money on the more violent aspect of it. That I needed, it needed some more gore for what it was, and they needed a little bit tweaking of the story. I'm okay with the story. They just needed some tweaking to it. I wish the mother was a little bit more crazed, even though she was crazy. She should have been a little bit more crazed. I wish Millie Bobby Brown's character was a little bit more. They should have built the relationship with the dragon and her a little bit more. You know, I felt that the dragon was fine, but I think some of the deaths at the end could have been a little bit better. And some of the deaths in the beginning with the dragons could have been a little bit better. But, you know, again, I'm not in charge of production deadlines, but they should have taken a little bit more time to make some of that. It should have been a little bit more gory. Perhaps some boobs. I mean, I don't know, but I don't know if Millie Bobby's character really, it didn't really call for any nudity. There was no sex in the movie. And I don't even think they should have gone that route, but maybe they should have shown. See, I think at the end that when the dragon pulled up on the town, they should have showed all entire village being burnt alive and people trying to flee and getting caught by the dragon or by Millie Bobby Brown's character and like dying like that, like some horrendous deaths. It would have made the movie infinitely better. But again, other than that, it's like 6.5 to 7 out of 10 for me. It's like, it's a thumbs up. I mean, I would watch it if you were bored and you were like, hey, that movie is okay. Like, you put it on. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's just not great either. But, yeah, so I don't know. Like, I watched that movie and then I watched Dune. Duna, again, like, after some deep reflections about Dune, do I want to watch it again? I would watch it again if it was a little bit shorter and if it was a little bit better. But I don't want to watch it again because it's a long ass fucking movie. And it's just not, to me, it's just not as good as it could have been either. And again, Damsel too. Like, would I watch it again? Only if somebody else wanted to watch it, or, you know, just was in front of me like, oh, hey, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. Or somebody was like, hey, I always wanted to watch that movie, just never got around to it. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I watched it one time, it was okay. You know, I like, again, I love the design of the dragon. The dragon to me was the best part of the whole thing. And I think Netflix was like, yo, we built a dragon CGI'd. And like, we figured out how to like make it move and all that. And like, let's put it in a movie. Like, let's make a story around that. Like, I don't know if somebody came up with the concept and like, hey Netflix, this is a dragon that, look how it looks in the lie, look how it looks in, you know, flying around, look how it looks in a cave. And they were like, yes, we got this story that we can put to it, like, and we can get this person. And they were like, you know, all of it came together and they made it, like something like that. I don't know if that's how they operate. But I kind of feel like, okay, it was like the dragon was very well done. Like, it's one of the best dragon and sounding too. They gave it a human voice, which is another thing that I do like. I don't know why dragons have human voices, but like in a lot of lore, like the dragons can speak. I mean, they had Lord of the Rings dragon could speak. You know, the dragon in the mountain. This one could. I'm not sure if the ones in Aragorn could or not. But there's a lot of dragons that can talk. There just is a lot of dragons that talk in movies, talk to the people. Skyrim's dragons would also speak to him a little bit. Like, so dragons talking is just something that I kind of feel like, it's pretty commonplace. Like, if you think about it, why do the dragons talk? Like, nobody knows why they talk. They just do. And they thought, that's been the thing. I can't think of that movie with the... I don't know if it's not Sean Penn. Sean Connery. The dragon talks to him, too. I'm not sure if the dragons talked in Game of Thrones or not, but they should have. They should have. I'm not sure. There's just a lot of dragons that talk. And I hope in this new How to Train Your Dragons, I hope they do talk to the people. That'd be an interesting take on the whole thing. Like having the dragons actually talk to back to, you know, Toothless talk to Hiccup in the movie. But yeah, I think the Shrek dragon talk. But so a lot of dragons talking, and I appreciate a good talking dragon. Instead of it not saying anything, you have to kind of guessing what they're talking about. With that said, yeah, I mean, again, the dragons was the best thing of the whole. Was the whole centered around? I wish it was more dragon in it, but they gave us a lot of dragon, and I kind of thought that was pretty good. Although, how big was the fucking cave for a dragon to be flying around in it? Pretty fucking big. I don't know what we're talking about next. Maybe some NFL shit. Maybe some concert shit. Godzilla Kong is coming out soon. There's been a ton of movies since Dune that have come out. I think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes dropped. I think Ghostbusters came out. Ghostbusters Part 2 of the newer ones. Godzilla Kong comes out right away. And there's just been sneakily a lot of movies that come out, but I think Dune kind of overshadowed everything. I watched the Oscars too. The Oscars was okay. But yeah. Maybe we'll talk Godzilla Kong, and then I go to Kublai Khan after that. So maybe we'll do a back-to-back of that. But we see. I'm still waiting for the Godzilla and Kong tickets to fucking come on sale. They're like kind of lagging about it, but you know they should come out any day now. You know, we'll be seated, IMAXed hopefully. Anyways, I'll get this posted up here shortly, the next day or so, and then we'll get working on the next one. Laters.